Christ is in our midst.
He is in our midst.
I don't know if you've been keeping up with Deacon Jeff, but he's with us this morning. And he had just had a heart catheterization. I'm not sure I'm saying it right. But that was Friday. And it was only 2 days ago. And here he is with us already this morning. Notice he can't use that right hand yet. He has to guard the use of it because that's where the catheter went. He doesn't want to bruise it anymore. But he's here. And he's here with good news. I don't know if you've been following that, but he told me this morning, he said, you know, the doctor, he said, I was kind of out of it because I was under anesthesia. And I could hear him say, oh my goodness, wow! That's great. Oh, these arteries are great. He did not need a stent in any of his arteries. They were all great. He said, there's one that's just 10%. Something about that must be where you put those big cheeseburgers or something. You know. Told me, Joey. But he was expecting that he would need a stent. I don't know. Do we believe in miracles? Do we?
Yes.
We were praying for Deacon Jeff. And
thank you for your prayers all year long.
Thank you, everyone, for your prayers. I mean, those arteries are great. They're big and healthy. So anyway, I just want to share those good things with you. He's with us this morning already and doing well. And at the end of the service, during coffee hour, we're going to honor someone else. We have a new American citizen with us. Elena Maher is a U.S. citizen as of Friday. That was all these good things happened on Friday. You have a word for us, too?
There was a celebration, and I saw the decorations at Bible more time.
Okay, there's going to be some we're going to enter into the season of the Nativity this week. And Deacon Jeff told me it's Thursday. I thought it was Thursday. We enter into the season of the Nativity. The church always has us read this gospel lesson, the parable of the Good Samaritan, as we come into the season of Holy Nativity. May I ask you, why do you think that is? Well, I'm going to give you a hint. Who came as our Good Samaritan? Who was sent? Who? Christ. Christ came. That's why Christ came. He was born. He became one of us. He became the Good Samaritan, who saw us dead in trespasses and sins, without hope and without God in this world, dying along the path of life. He did not pass by on the other side. He's our only hope. He is our only hope. There's no other Savior. There's no one else who could minister to us along that path. As we were beaten up and left dying by Satan and all the powers of wickedness, the dark powers of this world, we were without hope. Everyone else passed by. The church fathers point out that we had the law and the prophets. You know, the priests, they represented that old covenant. They were powerless. That old covenant, as mighty as it was, as glorious as it was, remember Moses' face shone with glory because he was in the presence of God on the mountaintop. Moses and the law was powerless to help us. The old covenant was a covenant looking forward to Christ, who comes. The season of the Nativity, Christ comes. Well, the lawyer asked Jesus a question. And he said, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Is that a bad question to ask? No, that's the best question anyone can ask. Lord, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, well, what is written? And remember, the Old Covenant is full of truth, which points to the truth, the living way, the truth, and the life. But anyway, the Old Testament is filled with the true hope for salvation. And so the lawyer answered him and said, well, it says in the Bible, in the Old Testament, it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. He covered it all. Love God and love your neighbor. It's like two sides of a coin. You say, well, I love God. I have an awful hard time with some of these people around me, Lord. And you got to give me a break. How can I love them? Well, it's like two sides of a coin. You love God and you love your neighbor. And if you don't have the one side of the coin, it's counterfeit. It's not worth anything. Isn't that right? You look at a coin that only has one side stamped on it. It's not going to work. Well, so the man answered correctly. He said, you have to love God and then love your neighbor. Now, what's interesting is that already in the Old Testament, there was this question, well, who's my neighbor? And I just want to read a couple of verses there to give you the context of what was going on here with the lawyer. When he says, who is my neighbor? He was asking the question that was really a burning question among the Pharisees. Who is my neighbor? In Leviticus chapter 19, I'm going to read verses 15 through 18, three verses here, or four. You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor admire the person of the mighty. In righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go about deceitfully among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord your God. You shall not hate your brother in your mind. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear guilt because of him. It's a tough love if you see someone doing something against God and against love of neighbor himself. You have to rebuke him and say, that's wrong, don't do that. Or you bear his guilt. Anyway, it's a tough love, but it's love. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people. And who's the neighbor? Well, he's children among the Israelite people. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself, for I am the Lord. Well, I guess that makes it a little easier. You just love your own kind. You know? But in that same chapter, we are told to love the stranger that is among us. This is already Old Covenant. Here it says, you shall rise before the gray-haired and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord your God. So the elderly, and if a resident alien dwells with you in your land, you shall not mistreat him. The resident alien who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you, and you shall love him as yourself. Oh, so it's not just my own kind. It's anyone who dwells among me. This is Old Covenant, though. But still the question, well, what about this alien, this stranger among us, who isn't very nice? Think of whatever you want to think of, but questions. Who really is my neighbor? Lord, you can't expect me to love everyone. Well, I want to read to you this. The attitude of love among the Jewish people was still restricted. It was restricted. They somehow didn't catch the spirit of that old covenant, which said it includes everybody. So among the sectarians, like those of Qumran, you've heard of the Qumran community? In the Qumran community, those who thought they were really keeping the law, those were the real chosen ones, and they couldn't even really associate much with their own people because their own people were just too lax. They weren't righteous enough. This is the Qumran community now. They had a division between the love for the sons of light and hate for all others, and that division was absolute. If you love God, you've got to hate those who are not righteous. So for the Pharisees, the discussion of the limits of interaction with non-Jews was very extensive. This was a real live debate. And then Jesus comes, full of compassion and love. And the Pharisees at one point in Jesus' ministry said to him, are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan, that you have a demon? But Jesus tells this story. I'm going to tell you a story about a Samaritan and how someone on the road from Jerusalem down to Jericho, he's going in the wrong direction. He had his life all mixed up. He wasn't really living for God. He was leaving the presence of God and going down to Jericho, which was an abominable city. Well, he's going down there, and then he gets beat up. And he gets left alongside the road and half dead. Well, then coming by the way is a priest and then a Levite, and they both pass by. They can't associate with this guy. And then a Samaritan comes, despised, demon-possessed Samaritan according to the Jews. And he has compassion. So Jesus says, who is the neighbor to this man? Quite obvious, isn't it? And this lawyer had to say, he said, well, I guess it was the one who had compassion and who showed love. One who was filled with mercy. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. Christ has come, and he is coming. Sunday is the day of the resurrection. We celebrate the resurrection of Christ. But as we enter every Sunday, but as we enter into the special yearly season of the church, we are now coming into the season of the Nativity. And why did Christ come? Why was he born? Because the Father was filled with mercy and sent his Son to be the hand of his mercy and compassion for us. So, you know, the commentators say, well, some commentators say, well, this parable is really talking about Jesus as the Good Samaritan. Another commentator say, well, no, it's telling us a story on how we need to be the Good Samaritan. You know, the truth of the matter is, it's telling us both. Some people like to say, well, you know, we can't do anything. God has to do it all. Well, I guess God has to do it all. But we are the hands and feet of God in this world. Did God give us His grace and Holy Spirit for nothing? He gave His Spirit and grace to us so that we might be witnesses of the Good Samaritan. And in Christ's name, show mercy, compassion, and love to all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.